Gehazi showed us that the first action we do to take a step back in our life is we fail to trust God. We put all of our hope and our confidence in ourself and our ability and our strength and our mental faculties and our talent and our skill rather than trusting God. And when we fail to trust God, we are beginning the process to take a step back in our life. The second thing is we pursue wrong priorities. Gehazi pursued wrong people and wrong things. And every time we start to pursue wrong people and wrong things, it's a recipe of taking a step back in our life. And then finally, Gehazi showed us we take a step back in our life when we think life is all about taking. And we look at every person and everything and every situation in what can I get out of it? What's in it for me? Rather than understanding life is all about giving. What can I contribute to this person? What can I contribute to this situation? How can I be a giver? Jesus said, it's more blessed to what? Give than to. Life is all about giving rather than taking. So today, Gehazi is going to show us the significance of stepping forward. If you got your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27. If you don't have a Bible or a device with the Bible on it, we have it on the screens for you. 2 Kings 5, 27 says, Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous, and it had become white as snow. As a refresher there, or an introduction for some of you who may not be familiar with the story, a man named Naaman was a Syrian military leader. He was the general of the Syrian army, and he was also a leper. His leprosy is his body's falling apart. He comes to Elisha. Elisha leads him into a process that heals him of leprosy. He brought with him the equivalent of over $100,000 in gold and silver and 10 new suits to give as an offering of appreciation to Elisha. Elisha rejects it. His protege, Gehazi, is watching this and gets his eyes on the money, chases Naaman down, and lies to Naaman and says, just after you left, a couple young preachers showed up at the house. They don't have any money. They're hungry. And my master, Elisha, asked me to come to you to see if you would, after all, give us some of that money that you had. And Elisha, of course, Naaman gives more than what was asked of him. Gehazi takes it back, hides it, buries it, and then denies the fact that he lied to get the money. The consequence is that the leprosy that was upon Naaman now is upon Gehazi. Now, let's go a page over to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And we'll begin reading in the third verse. This is a few years after the incident of Naaman, Elisha, and Gehazi. And in an area called Samaria, there is a severe famine that has come in to the degree that they are eating such concoctions as donkey head. Anybody getting hungry? Dove dung. Now that's the way you make the donkey head more appetizing, is you marinate it. Severe famine. Severe famine has entered in. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 3 says, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans, the Syrians, and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. And they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. There are how many lepers here? Four. A natural question would be, who are these four lepers? According to the Talmud is the commentary of over that is compiled over the course of generations, the commentary of the Torah, or the first five books of the Old Testament, the law. And according to the Torah and several other Jewish historians, these four lepers are Gehazi and his three sons. And they are living outside the gate of the city because of their disease. Because they are lepers, they are not allowed to live inside the city gate and dwell amongst other people. They have to live in a leper colony. And their leper colony is their family. Gehazi is now living just him and his sons. And that's bad enough. You and your sons, and you have this wretched disease of leprosy, and you're watching one another's bodies literally fall to pieces. Your life is falling apart. Even if you could go back into the land that you've known, even if you could go back into Samaria, there's nothing there because the famine is there, the severe famine. There's death that's in the atmosphere. Well, why not move forward? If I can't go back, there's famine there. Why not move forward? Well, because in the course of time, an enemy nation, Syria, has camped and surrounded Samaria. They've set up their camp and they're waiting for just the right time to invade. Samaria is weak. It's vulnerable. There's famine. The soldiers are weak. There's no strength. There's no food. There's nothing there. It is a perfect time to invade and pick off this weak nation and expand your kingdom. Now here's Gehazi and his sons in between a rock in a hard place. We don't know how long that they have been sitting there. We don't know how many years have went by between the time that he coveted Naaman's money. We don't know how long and how old his sons are, but we know that there's been some time that has accumulated, and now they sit in this predicament and they have three choices. Their options are to step back. We can step back and we can go into the city, even though we're not welcome, even though according to the law, we can't be there. But we can step back and we can go back into the city and we will surely die because the famine's there. Or we can sit still and we can die because we're all lepers and our bodies are falling apart. Or we can step forward and we may die. What we can do is we can step forward and we can take a chance. We can step forward and we can take a risk. We can step forward and hope that just maybe we'll find mercy. We don't know what's going to happen if we step forward. We can step back, we will die. We can sit still, we will die. We can step forward, we might die. I like that option. How many of you would choose option C? Certain death, possible death. Let's go with possible death. Possible death. And Gehazi says, I refuse to sit here till I die. I can, and I have. I just refuse to do it another moment. I refuse to sit here till I die. Something started stirring on the inside of Gehazi. Something started to turn in his heart that convinced him complacency was no longer acceptable. Something began to turn inside of his heart that said status quo, average, mediocrity, just enough, just get by, just keep doing what you've been doing. The same old routine is not acceptable in my life anymore. I refuse to sit here till I die. I believe it was the power of God he'd been exposed to serving under Elisha. I believe it was the fact that he said, you know what? I've seen God raise the dead. I believe it was the fact that he said, you know what? I've seen God multiply food. I believe it was the fact that he said, I've seen God do crazy, impossible, ridiculous things, and here I am just sitting outside the gate. That power he had been exposed to started stirring inside of his heart. You know the thing about the grace of God? It's contagious. See, you hang around the pool long enough, you're going to fall in. And even though Gehazi ran from God, God didn't run from Gehazi. And it started to speak to him and turn and stir inside of his heart. That those prophetic words, that preaching, the truth of God's word that he had heard from Elisha. He'd heard the stories of Elisha saying, I seen Elijah call fire. Heard about him calling fire down from heaven. I seen all those things. He is serving the man that picked up the mantle of Elijah, smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And walked across on dry ground. All of that started to come back and stir on the inside of him. He said, you know what? There's something greater on the inside of me. I refuse to sit here till I die. He made a decision that day. I'm going to move forward. Gehazi's greed caused him and his family to take a step back. And now he's leading himself and his family to take a step forward. Here's what I want to highlight to somebody this morning. Gehazi led his sons to step forward, not knowing exactly what would happen. Boys, it's time for this family to move forward. Dad, what's going to happen? I don't know. But I'm not going to let what I don't know keep me from moving forward. One of the greatest delusions that you and I fall into is this delusion of control. That we think we actually control our lives. How many of you realize the older you get and the more things you experience, you really don't have control over anything? You really don't have control. And so that's where somebody is at right now. You know you need to move forward. You know it's time for you to step forward. You know it's time for you to take a step forward toward Jesus. You know it's time for you to take a step forward in growing in God. You know it's time for you to lead your family to step forward. You know it's time for you and your knowledge of the Word of God and your growth as a disciple to step forward. But you're saying, what if? I don't know if this is going to happen. And what if my schedule? And what if it conflicts with this? And what if all these things happen? And you're trying to wait till all the details are figured out and you have all the answers and you say, when I really know that I know, and when I put this fleece and when I get 10 confirmations and when I have all the money and I have everything, all the details figured out, then I'll step forward. And you got, we need to be like Gehazi says, I don't know what's going to happen, but here's what I know. It's time to step forward. Gehazi said, sons, here's what we're going to do. And the Holy Spirit's just given me this right now. For somebody in this room. Gehazi said, here's what I know we're going to do. We're going to step forward and we're going to surrender. I can see Gehazi telling the story to his sons how he ended up being a leper. Boys, I was serving Elisha. I was next in line to have that double portion anointing, which would have been quadruple from Elijah. I was in a great place. I had exposure. I had power. I had relationships. I had contacts. But you know what I had never done? I had never surrendered. I had never surrendered. So here's what we're going to do, fellas. We're going to do something I've never done before in my life. I'm going to step forward and surrender. I'm going to step forward and surrender and trust God's plan. I'm going to step forward and surrender and say, God, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. I'm just going to step forward and surrender. Could it be that today the Holy Spirit is inviting you to step forward and surrender? Could it be that God has aligned everything that to happen, that he is sending, he is showing me this in this moment for you, brought you to this situation and this point in your life for you to say, don't just step forward, but step forward, throw your hands in the air, wave the white flag and say, I'm not going to try and control the outcome anymore. I'm going to step forward and surrender. What's going to happen, Dad? I don't know. But I know we're not going to sit here and wait for another day. We are going to step forward. Here's what someone needs to know today. I can't step forward and feel sorry for myself at the same time. I can't step forward and stay in my pity party at the same time. Stepping forward means that I choose progress more than sympathy. Are you getting this? Now, this is why some of us continue to stay sitting outside the gate, because it matters more to us that people rally around us and tell us, oh, I'm so sorry, that's awful, I wouldn't know what I would do. God bless you, just Lord bless your heart. That matters more to us. Sympathy matters more to us than progress. And so in order to move forward, in order to step forward, I have to relinquish the appetite for sympathy and feed the appetite for breakthrough. Because you can't have both at the same time. You can't have sympathy and breakthrough. Jesus showed up to the man where at the pool of Bethesda and said, listen, what are you doing sitting here like this? Do you want to be made whole? He said, I don't have nobody to put me in the water when the water gets troubled. I've got 5 excuses why my life is the way it is. I'm just sitting here like this. Jesus said, I'm not here to give you sympathy. I'm here to ask you, do you want breakthrough or do you want sympathy? Because you cannot get sympathy and breakthrough. You say, well, I don't like that. That don't feel good. That's fine. We don't have to be BFFs. You just need to hear what God's saying to you. Choose you this day. Sympathy or breakthrough? That's why you need a man of God in your life that's going to tell you things that people in your life are too concerned about you liking them to tell you. Somebody sometimes needs to slap us around a little bit and say, choose. You can have everybody feel sorry for you, or you can say, why sit here like this until I die? I'm going to step forward. Gehazi said, boys, we're moving forward. I'm not going to live like a victim. I'm going to live victorious. That's your choice. But pastor, you don't know what happened to me. No, I don't. And I understand, listen, I understand life is rough. It's not PG. Life is not flag football. It's intense. Life is rough. Life happens to every single person in this room. In fact, you know, there's an introduction to how hard life is going to be. It's that the very first thing that happens to you when you're born is you get hit. Welcome to life. Pop. Let's just go ahead and get that established right now. This is the rest of your life, only it's going to be a whole lot worse than that. I'm sensitive and I'm aware of the fact that there are people in here today that have been through things I can't even imagine. I'm aware of the fact that we all have experienced things that probably your spouse doesn't even know. Things that you hesitate to even talk to God about in prayer. And things have happened and you're sitting outside the gate of life. And you've been immobile, you've been paralyzed because of the spiritual leprosy that's at work in your life, and it's falling apart, and it's eating your joy, and it's eating your hope, and it's eating your peace, and everything you look around, it's just your life falling apart, and you've been sitting there, no forward progress, no movement, nothing happening, not going anywhere. And I'm telling you, yes, you've been through some stuff, yes, some stuff has happened to you, yes, some things you never chose to happen have happened, but this is your day to say, why sit here until I die? I'm going to step forward. We're not going to play the victim anymore. We're going to live victorious. Here's what I want to challenge somebody to do today. It's very simple. Yet today could be the most important day of your life. And today could be the most important day in your whole family tree. Here's all you need to do today. Decide today to step forward? Just decide. Everybody shout, decide. That's all it takes. Just decide. Don't plan. Decide. Satan can't do anything with a person who has a made-up mind. So decide today to step forward. Perhaps you're like Gehazi that's sitting outside the gate of the life that you would like to have. Maybe you're even sitting outside the gate of the life that you used to have. Perhaps you're sitting outside the gate and behind you is the life that you've messed up. Behind you is the life that you used to know. Behind you is the joy and the blessing and the presence of God. Behind you is all of the security and the strength that you knew at one time. And in front of you is an army of failure and condemnation. This is a moment right now. Don't wait for everything to be perfect. Don't wait for another day. Today is the day to say enough is enough. It's time for action. It's time for action. Maybe it's time for you to step forward toward God. And there's someone here this morning that you're in that in-between point. You're saying, I've stepped away from some of the dark places that I've been, but I know I'm not where I need to be with God. And today I can step back and just go back to the life of sin. I can go back to the life of just pain and hurt. I can go back into that. And I can stay where I'm at and trying to piece everything together and try and fix it all myself. Or I can do something I've never done and I can take a step toward Jesus. See, here's the amazing thing. When you take a step toward Jesus, he takes 10,000 toward you. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. When you decide, I'm going to take a step toward him, he spans the chasm between you and God, and he says, I see you taking that step, and I'm going to run with my grace and my mercy and my love and my forgiveness. You're not going to have to come all the way. You just take one step, and I'm going to meet you right there. And friend, that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago on an old, hewn out, rough, rugged cross. Jesus said, I'm going to initiate the opportunity of this cross is going to lay down and span the gap between God and man. You take the step toward it, and I have made it possible so that you can step toward me. Maybe today is the day you say, I'm not going to sit outside the gate of a relationship with God. Today I'm going to step toward Jesus. Maybe today's the day you step toward starting over. Perhaps like Gehazi, you made a bad decision. You took a step back. Perhaps like Gehazi, you made a decision that affected your family. Maybe like Gehazi, when you look in the mirror, you're reminded of the stupidity of that one decision. Perhaps when you look in the eyes of your kids, you're reminded. Perhaps when you look through family photos, you're reminded. Perhaps when you go on vacation, you're reminded, and you're sitting outside the gate of the life you would like to have, and you know you need to start over, but you don't know what to do. Today is the day to step forward. Maybe it's not your bad decision. Maybe you're like Gehazi's sons. You didn't do anything. It wasn't your bad decision. It wasn't your greed. Life happened to you. Unfortunate circumstances happen to you. Things just happen. How many of you have lived long enough to know sometimes things just happen? Jesus even said that. There's a man born blind, and they come to Jesus and say, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, why does it have to be about sin? That's what religious people do. Oh, there's sin here in your life. Jesus said, listen, there was a tower that fell and a bunch of people got killed. It wasn't sin. Sometimes things just happen. And that's Gehazi's sons. Here they are, lepers, sitting outside the gate of the city because life just happened. And maybe that's where you are right now. You're sitting outside the gate, not enjoying the life of God, not enjoying the blessing of God. You're just immobile. You're just feeling bad. There's nothing positive happening in your life because life happened. It knocked you down and it's standing upon your throat and daring you to get up. Can I tell you, this is your day to get up. This is your day to get up. Proverbs 24:16. It says, though a righteous man falls seven times, they rise back up again. The Word of God nowhere says the righteous never fall. The Word of God nowhere says the righteous never stumble. The Word of God nowhere says the righteous never have life knock them down. But the Word of God says over and over, the righteous do get back up. And maybe you were fallen, you'd been knocked down, maybe you'd stumbled, maybe you have fallen face first into a pile of absolute pain. Today is your day to get up. Over the last several years, it's been a joy to hear of an amazing example of someone stepping forward in Malia's family. And I've asked her to share this with you today because I believe it's going to demonstrate how, no matter what's going on in your life, you can step forward. And it's an amazing example of someone 70 years ago in McCurry County, Kentucky, which has just been named the poorest county in America, can decide to step forward.
We've got a wonderful story to share with you from my family. You can go ahead and put the picture on the screen. This is my grandmother. Her name was Cora Cooper, and just loved her so much growing up. I got to spend several years actually living in her home. My family moved in to care for her towards the last of part of her life. And just a story from her life has been such a powerful well for me to draw from for a long time. When I was a kid, I would hear this story and think, wow, that's great, okay, and move on and not think much about it. But as I've gotten older, I've recognized just how much of the Lord that she had in her life, how much perseverance that is in my family's DNA. And it's definitely in me, and it's where I get my perseverance from, you know, is from this long legacy of this lady, Cora Cooper. So it was early in her life. She got married at 15, and she had five kids. And life was going along pretty good. I'm sure it was about a decade, maybe a little more than a decade. And then her husband passed away. She only had an eighth grade education due to bad vision. She couldn't see in school. And her family, they were just farmers. They didn't have much at all. And just so you know, my mom is late. My mother is a late child. So my grandmother was actually born in 1907. So that gives you a little perspective of the timeline there. So her parents, they really were just farmers. They didn't have really outside jobs. They would work and sell food. And my grandmother came from that. So, you know, she married young. She started having children. And they had five kids, and he passed. And, you know, she didn't have that education. At the time, there was no assistance. You know, I can't imagine how she must have felt trying to feed five kids with nothing, you know, only her family to go back and ask for help or this or that or the other. And so it wasn't long, and she started taking in washings. That she would do laundry all day. She would iron all day. She would go out and dig potatoes. Some of you know from your own family stories these kind of things. But and all of the kids, I mean, worked. Every one of them, 13 and down, all five of them would go out and help in some way to contribute to the family. And they really pulled together during that time. But my granny was known as a prayer warrior, as just a woman of God and a woman of faith. And she prayed every day. And the kids would hear, this has been confirmed from all of my family, she would be praying outside. Her spot was a stump in the backyard that she prayed at. And they even said that people would gather in front of the house because they would hear her praying so loudly. They would gather at the front and listen to her prayer. And God just began to speak to her about taking a risk and stepping forward and running for a city position in our community. And I'm sure there wasn't a lot of women during that time that were running for office. And she didn't have an education, and she didn't have the means to get out and really run a campaign the way that other people would have ran a campaign. But she just heard God say this to her. And so she asked her father if he would be willing to help her out. And so in that first, you know, conversation, he wasn't very supportive. It just, you know, he was like, I can't do that with you. I don't have a vehicle. This is a big, pretty big county. We're going to have to walk over, you know, to talk to everyone. And not a lot of people even in this part of the community even know me. And so she was kind of shot down. When she was at her lowest point, one of the family members even came and spoke to her and tried to, and it was their best advice for her was, you know, you're going to need to give these kids over to an orphanage because you can't care for them. There's five of them. They're starving. You know, they're very hungry. And, you know, there had even been times where that they only had one potato in the whole kitchen. And this was according to my aunt that told me this. So she went ahead and she prayed again. She kept seeking the Lord. She was not willing to send her children away. She would not stand for it. And when she prayed again, she just felt strongly that God was saying, run for office. So she went back and spoke to her father again and said, listen, I've heard from God. This is what I need to do. And so he was willing. He said, okay, if this is what you really feel, we'll walk as much as we can every day. We'll go door to door. We'll speak to people. We'll go to the public talks where that they get up and present themselves in front of everyone. And she would take all of her kids with her, except one. She took all four. She took the oldest four. And then Leroy, the baby, they had to leave him at home, she said, because he was too mean to go to the public speaking. So he stayed at home. But she, you know, she gave her speeches and she campaigned. And she ended up winning that election. And being able to step out on faith, she didn't have an assurance that she would win. She could have failed. The votes could have went a different direction, but they didn't. And she took that risk, and it changed my family forever. We have, out of my mom's siblings, they are educated people. My mom was a teacher. Two of them are business owners. Three, well, my Aunt Kitty had a business too. You know, just it changed the legacy of our home. And I'm standing here today in ministry in a church because I had a grandmother that prayed for me, that insisted that I learn a chapter of scripture to memorization, and just a powerful legacy that I can look back and draw from for the rest of my life because she was willing to take a step of faith when everything in her life looked like she should just fall back. So let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
How awesome is it that 70 years later, we're in another part of the state talking about someone who said, I'm going to step forward. And it changed a family tree. I don't know what you're standing on the outside of. I don't know what may be stacked up against you. But today is a day, all you need to do is decide, I'm going to step forward. And it just might be that 70 years from now, if Jesus tarries, 70 years from now, somewhere in another part of the state, this country, this world, someone could be telling the story of the time when you said, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to step forward. See, here's what you need to know. God gets involved in your steps. God gets involved in your steps. Verse number 6, we read it earlier, says, when they decided to take a step forward, not knowing what would happen, the Lord caused the Arameans, the Syrians, to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. What happened? These four leprous guys decided to take a step. Now, the word step is probably being very generous. Their toes are falling off. Their legs are crippled. They're covered in bandages. It was probably more like a crawl, dragging their foot. We're going to step. Don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to step. The book of Hebrews says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. To put that more appropriately, you have a group of heavenly cheerleaders hanging over top of your head. And I can see God, I can see Abraham, I can see Moses, I can see Elijah that is peering down over the portal of heaven, looking at Gehazi and his sons and cheering them on. Come on, guys, just one step. Just one step. I know you don't know what's going to happen if you take the step, but I done talked to Jesus and he knows what's going to happen if you take. Just take the step. And they took their feeble, broken, fallen apart, messed up, covered up in bandages self, and they said, if I got to drag my leg, we're going to take a step forward. And as soon as they took one step, God plugged in the amplifier of the sounds of creation and caused them to go from acoustic guitar to electric with a distortion on level 10. They went from a opera. They went from a coffee house poetry reading to a Metallica concert, front row center. God said, I'm going to get in the middle of that. I see a group, I see a guy leading himself and leading his family. He's messed up, he's broken, he's fallen apart. He can't do anything himself, but he's deciding, I'm going to take a step forward. I can get in the middle of that. Listen, you may be falling apart. You may be messed up. You may be broken, and your life is in shambles and in pieces, and it's nothing but the bandages of hope that has got you tied together. But God says, if you'll take a step, just one step toward me, just take one step forward, I can get in the middle of that. I want you to say this with me. I take a step, and God takes care of the rest. One more time. When I take a step, God takes care of the rest. Here's what happened. He made them more than what they are. In their eyes, they were just broken lepers. In their eyes, they were just falling apart. In their eyes, they were a failure. But in God's eyes, they were an army. He made them more than what they are. When I take a step, God takes care of the rest. Someone needs to know today, He's working on the other side of the camp. All you can see is your leprosy. All you can see is the broken pieces of your life. All you can see is what's falling apart. All you can see is what's not right. All you can see is 10 reasons why you don't deserve to take a step forward. All you can see is the long list of reasons why you can't take a step forward. All you can see is your leprosy. You can't see anything on the other side of it. But friend, what you need to know, be convinced to your core today, is God is working on the other side of the camp. Gehazi, what's going to happen, Daddy? I don't know, but it just might be that God is working in a way we can't see right now. It just might be that the Lord is working in a way that we won't know till we get there. It just might be that we won't see everything God is doing until we keep taking steps. What happens when I take one step? Take another one. You're not going to know until you take a step. He told Abraham, I'll tell you where you're going tomorrow. But today, just take a step. You won't know everything till you take the step. Simon Peter, step out of the boat. Am I going to sink? Just take a step. Joshua, step into the River Jordan. It's flood time. What am I going to do? Just tell the priest, take a step. When you take the step, you'll find out what I'm going to do. Some of us need to not live led by our brain, and live led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to take a step, guys. And God's going to get involved in the step. They get there. And somehow in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit started whispering in the ears of their adversary. And they said, you hear that? That's chariots. That's an army. The king has hired two armies to come against us and attack us. We got to get out of here. They didn't even take the time to pack. Some of you ladies can't fathom that. And some of you guys are like, leave my gold and silver? There's no way. They didn't even take time to pack. They just got up and left. God can do something like that. In the middle of the night, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm sensing the Holy Spirit strong in here this morning. God can do something so quick in the middle of the night. What would happen if today you decide, I'm going to step forward? Sometime in the middle of this night, God can work over here on the other side in the camp of your enemy, that when you get there, you say, what in the world happened? They walk into the camp of the enemy. There's food. There's gold and silver. There's clothes. They go into the next tent. There's food. There's money. There's clothes. They were just lepers. Now, some of us may look like we've got it all figured out. Maybe it's because we've been hanging out in the tent a little too long. And it looks like we've got everything figured out. We've got it all pieced together. But we need to remember, we are where we are only by God's grace. The lepers didn't run the army off. God did. The lepers didn't put the food in the tent. God did. They were just a bunch of broken lepers that took a risk and stepped forward. And God in His great grace made them more than what they are. And it's easy for some of us that have been following Jesus a little while. We've been hanging out in the tent of God's grace and God's provision, that before long we start to think we made all this happen ourselves. And we need to be reminded we're all just a bunch of broken lepers, that our life is falling apart and we're bandaged together by hope. And we decided to take a risk and take a step toward God. And He in His goodness, He in His grace moved the enemy out of our way. He moved the enemy of sin out of our way. He moved the enemy of addiction out of our way. He moved the enemy of hell out of our way. And He said, come on into the tent. I've got everything you need. Just come on in here. Sit down and feast at my table. I've got everything you'll ever need. And I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what you're experiencing. But this is a day that you can find everything you need on the other side of one step. Everything you need is on the other side of one step. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to take a step. Maybe you're camped out somewhere in the middle and God's been speaking to you about moving toward Him and really trusting Jesus. Just one step. Maybe God's been speaking to you about reaching out to a family member or a coworker and sharing the story of what God's done in your life, but you don't know where to begin. Just one step. Maybe it's time for you to start over. Maybe you're tired of looking in the mirror and being reminded of your failures. Maybe it's time for your family to start over. Say, I don't know where to begin. I know I need to take a step, but I don't know where to begin. Here's what I want to ask everyone to do right now. You received a Connect card on your way into service this morning. I want you to grab it. If you didn't get one, get a tithe envelope, an offering envelope that's on the back of the seat in front of you. Everything starts with a step. If you look on that Connect card, it says, my next step. My next step. And there's some choices on there. My next step is begin a relationship with Jesus. Man, what an awesome step that is. Thank God we had 4 people take that step last week. Maybe your next step is you say, I've trusted Jesus. I'm saved, but I've never taken that first step of obedience, and I need to be baptized. We're baptizing people next week. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe it's time for you to start serving and take the towel and serve other people and make a contribution into the life of someone else. Maybe it's time for you to start trusting God with your finances and give or tithe. Or maybe it's time for you to get plugged into a small group and experience community and growth and relationship with other godly people. Whatever it may be, maybe you need a spiritual mother or father to come alongside of you and help bring wisdom and encouragement and understanding and support. There's some options on that card, but there's 1,000 other next steps that you could have that's not listed on that card. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to look at that card, and I'm going to pray a real quick prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to shine a light into our hearts to illuminate to every single one of us what our next step is.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more info about our ministry or Pastor Rich, find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter @Trinity Harvest. If this message has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about it. Send us a message or prayer request to info@trinityharvest.net.